Broadcasting live from the backstretch at Saratoga, this is the Handicapper's Report. Brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track. Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border. The Mercantile Kitchen and Bar. Enjoy breakfast, lunch, or dinner any time of the day. The Mercantile Kitchen and Bar, 430 Broadway, Saratoga. And the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. When you can't make it to the track, make it to the Clubhouse Racebook.
Report, Brian Nadel, Seth Merrill with you. We talked yesterday, had a lot of new and different things going on at Saratoga this meet, and we have another one today, as obviously we are canceled today. We were canceled late Thursday. They announced that Thursday afternoon, but we're going to be here rolling through 14 at Monmouth, so it's kind of exciting. Monmouth is going to forge on with the Haskell today, their showcase centerpiece of their meet down on the Jersey Shore, so the heat is down there as well. A lot of tracks canceled. I saw Woodbine's going to run today. But I think we woke up this morning, and I think it's probably the right move. It's hot, and as you said, only getting hotter later today. So.
Yeah, it's already obviously steamy back here. We're in our casual outfits here on the set, so we don't pass out during the morning, because, again, in this tent, it can get even a little more steamy. I was surprised as I drove in this morning up the Avenue of the Pines. There were golfers on both sides, the par three and the big course. I guess if you get out by 11 or 12, you're good to go. And I guess there are diehards out there, but I was surprised to see as many people golfing as
And I think, I'm going to say kudos to Naira. I don't know, maybe the local businesses didn't like it, but I saw you out last night. We had a cocktail and talked business a little bit. It was definitely the fact that I think they canceled early enough on Thursday. I really feel allowed a lot of people to kind of cancel on the weekend because it was very light last night. Downtown, out and about, even at the races, it was very light. You know, predictably so. It was hot yesterday, but we're going to have a fun day tomorrow. Just quickly, before I forget, you will be on in the morning, and then you and Steve will be on loose on the lead. And then I will be back around 12:30, 1 o'clock for the bankroll. We are going to have the bankroll today. We're gonna push that till tomorrow, and 13 on tap tomorrow. A good buddy of mine texted me. He said, "How about the Shuby at 7:20 in the p.m.?" So get your sleep tonight, folks. It's a long day, but we're gonna have a lot of
12:20 first post with the rescheduled steeplechase. So keep that in mind.
7 hours of racing.
Plenty of opportunities.
And another interesting thing yesterday: the Chad Brown three-horse Lake George as well. And I don't know about you. We didn't talk. I thought Regal Glory, to me, was comfortably the third best of his horses. And not only did she win like she was, you know, 2-5, but she was really a strong favorite in some of the betting pools as well, most notably like the pick three that ended in that race. She was a heavy betting favorite, so kudos to the people that sussed that out. I thought I went too deep with the pick five. I said to my buddy, I said, I kind of feel good that I'm not alive in the pick five, because I didn't use her at all.
I wasn't alive, but I had only gone a couple deep. On the win odds, she was the third choice. 6-5, 6-5, and 2-1. And I'll tell you what, I would have taken 3-5. I would have taken 1-5 on blowout going into the far turn.
Well, that's the other. That's a great point, because going in on the backstretch into the far turn, Regal Glory was about 15-1, it looked like, and she won like the rest of them were tied to a pole. I mean,
24 and change, 48 and change, 112 on blowouts out there with a little daylight between that one and the next, and I thought, oh, this one's in the bag. It was funny, Chad Brown, the post-race notes, it's never happened, Chad Brown's quotes, it's never happened before, it'll probably never happen again, so it's definitely unusual. yada, yada, yada. This time, what I did was I told all the jockeys, look, just try to ride your own race and do the best you can to win. Outside of that, if you want to talk to your individual clients or representatives that are here today, please do so and draw up a plan, I guess. It was a few days ago. I'll have to pull up the picture. It was a few days ago. It was interesting. Chad, I think, had four in one of the races, right? And that went out to the paddock, and the whole team was, like, right around him during the pre-race out in the paddock, which was kind of interesting.
Chad's had some good quotes. I think you and I talked about it after the Diana. Did we talk about that, where he said, you know, these are my horses. They deserve to run against each other and in these kind of spots. Maybe it was Anthony and I. And I thought it was really, he was very candid. And I thought there were some good, interesting quotes. You know, normally you get the trainer speak. I'm happy for the connections, as you said, yada, yada, yada. But he had some really good quotes like, hey, listen, these horses are, you know, they're the best horses in the country. They deserve to run in these races. I want to test them against each other. And I thought it was, you know, very interesting what he said. And I kind of thought it was very refreshing, too, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and if you're the owners, I mean, okay, Chad trains my horse, but I want to be in that spot.
Well, right, and Peter Brandt ran a rabbit against Rushing Fall and Diana. And, it is what it is. And as you said, they're different owners. And Peter Brandt's a great sportsman in and of itself, and they want to win these races. And it sounds like all three of those gals are going to the Beverly D. That's Sister Charlie, Rushing Fall, and Homerique, maybe at least. Chad mentioned it also. I think it's pretty cool because in this day and age of, you know, everybody ducking everybody else and that kind of thing. And, you know, we're going to talk in a little bit later. They got the matchmaker down at Monmouth today. Not that those horses would run in this kind of race, a grade three on the turf. But my point is there are a lot of races around for those kind of horses. And I thought it was pretty cool that Chad said that. So.
Also a quote from Chad down the notes here yesterday. Really, really sad. One of the saddest days I've been involved with in horse racing, referring to the passing of Mary Lou Whitney.
Sure.
Announced crowd here. I have the recap from yesterday. Announced crowd of 21,828. And I'll tell you what, it was always hats off to the Saratoga racing crowd. But they're knowledgeable about the entire game and beyond. And it was after the fifth. It was before the fifth race, I think, yesterday, where the announcement was made that Mary Lou Whitney had passed, and there was a moment of silence for her. They came out of the moment of silence, and the entire crowd applauded, who she was and how important she was.
Sure.
Not just to Saratoga, but to the Saratoga community. Not just to racing.
Yeah, I was actually walking over between the fifth and the sixth, so I missed all of that. And then I got some text and things like that. And there was some really, I saw on Twitter, Nick Zito and Ian Wilkes, you know, trainers that trained for Mary Lou Whitney for a long time, and just everybody in the sport. I mean, the overall sentiment was, you know, she was not only good for racing, but great for Saratoga Springs. And if you're not kind of in the loop, I mean, Mary Lou Whitney owns serious racehorses. I mean,
Birdstone,
Birdtown, Kentucky Oaks, Acorn, Travers, obviously, Belmont Stakes, denying Smarty Jones in the Belmont Stakes. So
she was gracious enough, I don't think that would be true of a lot of owners, to kind of realize the situation of sucking the air out of the room of knocking a Triple Crown winner, but you know, you want to celebrate the victory, but she recognized, I get it, that you know, this is not necessarily what all the people wanted, but I think everybody then gave her credit for that. I'll toss out, you know, I own my own television production company for years, and over the years we used to do a couple of Saratoga specials every season for WMHT, and had a chance to interview Mary Lou a couple of times. I'm going to try to see if I can find some of those tapes, and maybe if I can dig them out, we'll play them here at some point during the season. But again, if you're not familiar, Channel 10 did a great tribute today. I'm sure they'll be available on the internet or print versions. Tim Wilkin was kind of friendly with Mary Lou, so I'm sure there'll be a nice piece in the Times Union. But if you're not familiar, again, she was married to Sonny Whitney, and because of that became involved in the racing game. When he passed away, she then became a prominent owner herself, and then her second husband, and John Hendrickson, and Mary Lou, prominent supporters of the backside. And I wrote it on my webpage last night. She was referred to as a socialite. But that word brings with it kind of connotations that didn't really fit her. And she and her husband, John Hendrickson, had a big backstretch support program here where they would sponsor movie night and some dinners and whatnot. And it wasn't unusual for them to show up to movie night for the backstretch folks.
And I think, you know, that term is, like you said, that's what she gets associated with because of the balls and the galas and that kind of thing. But you're right, there was so much more what she did for the track and, as you mentioned, the backstretch and things like that. So a sad day.
And I'll just add, for people who aren't familiar, we talked about how important she was to Saratoga, and the Channel 10 piece made a great point of it, and I wrote it last night. For folks who don't know, you come to the track now and you don't realize what it was like here in the mid-60s. Even when I started coming, it was just starting the resurgence when I was a kid in high school. But part of that was Mary Lou and some of her crowd, they founded SPAC, which kind of changed the dynamic of Saratoga in the summertime. She also was a founder of the Racing Museum. But certainly SPAC, as I say, kind of changed the dynamic of the city, certainly. And so racing was kind of in a little bit of a downslide there in the late 60s, early 70s. But she was instrumental in kind of making Saratoga really what it is today.
Yeah, sad day. And as you said, a kind of a fitting tribute. My buddy texted me last night. He said, Mary Lou Whitney passed. He said, it's almost kind of apropos that they're not running today, almost.
You know what? After a moment of silence and the applause, that was very nice. That's kind of a good point. And as I say, it just dawned on me, the word socialite, I say, didn't necessarily refer to her in the proper fashion, because I don't know if you remember it, but they used to do, during the season or before the season, one of the radio stations had one of those kind of morning zoo crews, and they would do a thing at Cyril's every year, and she would show up and play right along.
They would
have Mary Lou moments and people, fans with Mary Lou, and she was game to show up and play right along.
Yeah, sad day. 93 years old. I mean, I think we'd all sign off on that, though.
Yeah.
Heck of a run. 14 at Monmouth, I guess we should get into it. We were fortunate enough. We've got, as we started here, and I'll refresh my phone just to see if we can get, we did get some scratches at Monmouth. It's a 12 o'clock post, so keep that in mind, too. So we're fortunate enough to have some scratches. I think both Seth and I lost one top pick, but the other ones were kind of at least
a couple others in my
mix. In the mix, but some kind of long shots. So let's kick it off at Monmouth. Again, it's Haskell Day down there. Maximum Security, the Kentucky Derby winner. Well, we know all about that. He's in there. We'll get to that a little later on. NBC.
I'm dying to see what the handle number is tomorrow, because with the situation, Parks, Delaware, Saratoga.
Woodbine is running. Our friends at Woodbine are running.
There's going to be a lot of concentration on these races.
Sir.
We'll see what the handle numbers do.
And I wonder if that certainly went into it. The noon opener, 5.5 on the turf. It's an optional claimer. Phillies and mares, three-year-olds and up.
I have it 8-7-1. I had the 6 in my mix. The 6 is now out. The 9's out. Sweet Yar and Dira. A couple of nice races so far this season. A couple of close-up second-place finishes. That scares me a little bit that the horse maybe gets to the wire, gets a little camera shy, and is willing to be passed because there are a couple of neck losses. But just with the numbers, and you know, before I put this horse in the bridesmaid category for certain, I'm going to give one more shot, because I think those last two say that it's going to go through this. Nick Juarez, a jock that I kind of focused on, what, 2 or 3 years ago down in Florida, he's having a pretty good meet here at Monmouth, so we'll tilt in that direction. Number 8 on top. Second slot will go to Magic Hatter, also with some good numbers over the past few starts. 2 and 3 starts back, a mile 16th. Last time went at the 5.5 of today's distance. And I think you can look at that in the finishing position and label it an improved performance. Ran third and ran third behind my top pick. And then in the third spot, valuable package. This is one where the number last time kind of jumps off. It's the best number on the page. So did this horse just kind of figure it out and get better, or is that number an aberration? We'll find out more today. But I think on that number, you can't ignore valuable package. I have it 8-7-1.
Well, we've got the 6 and the 9 we think are out, right? Diva's Revenge in Nth Degree. I've got it, 7-1-2. excuse me. And again, we did do the one sheet today, too, so I'll update those as well, CapitalOTV.com and certainly fire away, otbbets.com. I thought there was a lot of speed in here, Seth. I see you have the 7 in the mix, Magic Hatter. I'm going to take a little price, take a little shot on top with Magic Hatter coming from off the pace. I know it's tough to close at 5.5, but boy, there's a lot of hitting in here, a lot of speed, and I think maybe it melts down. You mentioned valuable package with the big number last time. I think she really takes all the worst of it as inside speed off that career best, but it was such a definitive number that I think she can still get a piece of this. And then underneath, Posse Needed, again, coming from off the pace, that's how I'm playing it here in the race flow. To early pick 5 here, too, kicking off at Monmouth at noon, 7-1 over to 2.
All right, we'll go to second race. Before we do that, I will mention yesterday, as you said up here, warm and humid. Yeah. I think today, the difference, I think, is going to be humidity today. So I think tomorrow will be a lot like yesterday. And for folks who are wondering, they're going to have protocols in place at Monmouth. I think the same situation up at Woodbine, you mentioned.
I got the press release this morning from Brittany Mayotte up there. They're going to have do the same kind of thing.
And clearly here on days like yesterday and tomorrow, things kind of are pointed towards the horse as well. And I'll say I walked into the paddock yesterday, and when I walked in from outside, I come in that gate kind of up towards the end of the saddling building. And there was a big, it wasn't a garbage pail, but it was that kind of sized container filled with ice water, and water. So the folks out in the paddock were hosing down their horses and buckets of ice over prior to the race. And then as soon as they came back, there were 3 or 4 holes just right there in the winner's circle area. Everybody gets taken care of immediately after the race. So that'll happen again tomorrow here at Saratoga, and I'm sure that's the game plan down
the bottom. Yeah, for sure. I'm looking at the weather now. Just summer in Saratoga, it's so funky. 89 tomorrow, so it's going to be hot tomorrow. It's going to be 55 degrees Wednesday night. I mean, it's really bizarre. The ups and downs, looks like it'll be hot next weekend, but certainly not like this. So, you know, we're going to be running tomorrow. And like you said, you know, take precaution, and they'll certainly do that, obviously, for the patrons and the horses as well.
Second race in Monmouth this afternoon. Optional claimer. Non-winners are one other than a mile and 70 on the main track.
Yeah, a lot of bookkeeping here, too. Pyramider 3, 4, and 5 are out now. Okay, Pyramider, Unbridled Mesa, and Katie's Capper. Right? Okay.
Yeah.
So, oddly enough, I didn't have any of them in my mix, so my picks don't change. 2, 6, 8 for me. Wild Scat Blue. You know, I don't know if he can run back to that monster win off the claim last time, and he does rise in class. Well, boy, it was a big, big W last time. Just blew the field away with a fast number. I think he trips out here. He sits the right kind of trip. Now, the 8-1 is going to be gone today because of 3 scratches, but I still think he'll offer a little bit of value. I'm going to put him on top. Guns of Steel in second. Maybe Lone Speed for Navarro and Mike Smith, and that's certainly dangerous. Mike Smith never saw a hot pace he didn't want to be involved in, so I would think Guns of Steel would be, you know, on the lead. Is he loose? That's the question. I think there's some outside speed here. 3-13 maybe presses him with Paco. He's not letting anybody get away early, so I'm hoping there's a little pace play here, and it helps Wild Scat Blue that much more. The kind of, I'll call him a wild card. I mean, Bow Bay Drive stepping up facing winners. This is a horse that looks like he's going places. Only 2 starts. He blasted maiden special weights last time. He's been bet hard. Greg Sacco always trains nice horses for Red Oak Stable. He's a name to remember, if not today, maybe next start down the road.
This is going to be one of those you against me races because, again, with the scratches, there's a field of 5 in here. I used 4, and I put the 2 down in the 4th spot. So I'll be interested to see what that means. I'm not going to disagree at all. That last race was fabulous, so I had to have it in the mix. I just wasn't totally convinced as compared to some of the others. I put it 6, 8, 7, and 2, Guns of Steel on top. As you were talking, I was looking at for the DRF stats. How many times has Mike Smith ridden for George Navarro? 0, according to the stats. So kind of interesting to see what happens in the first opportunity for those two to team up. Guns of Steel on top, though, off a couple of nice second-place finishes most recently, and then some class relief today for the high-percentage Navarro. Bell Bay Harbor, though, to me, is the one that probably have to beat. You mentioned the 2 nice starts so far, but, boy, look at that workout just the other day. 1 week ago, 58 and change, best of 17, obviously a bullet. And 3-13 in the 3rd spot. Some early speed there. Seems to be in some good form when last seen. That was the end of May, so not that long ago for Kelly Breen. It was a decent little 3rd place finish. Did fade a little bit, but I think with that speed shifting to the Monmouth surface, it may be a little more potent this afternoon on Saturday at the shore, I have it 6-8-7-2, and before I toss it back over to you, I will also mention, because we haven't mentioned this at the top, if you're playing the horses today, no better spot to do it than the Clubhouse Racebook, because the AC will be fired up there, or your local parlor. But
you're going to say Trotters.
Yeah, come down. Well, that may be where you're watching.
We mentioned it before, early pick 5 in the first race, early pick 4 in the second race, and these pools are going to be blowing up today, I would think, because as you said,
I
readily agreed with, I mean, kind of the only game in town, of course, our friends at Woodbine as well, but, you know, there's not a lot going on early today, so load up the OTB Bets account and fire. We're on the turf again in the third. It's a 10-5, 12-5 to 10-5 claimer. Three-year-olds and up a mile, two-turn mile on the turf.
Lost my top pick here, and I'm looking at the Monmouth website. Third race stretch up, 3, the 5, and the 10. I lost the 5 total tap as my top pick. I've gone 2-11-8 now. The number 2, Mission Driven. Good second place finish last time against maybe a little bit better. Tried this company, too, back and kind of flopped. That was really one of the lesser inspiring races on the page. But that was bookended by a couple of okay numbers against maybe, as I say, a little bit better. So, again, the 1-2 back is a little bit of a head-scratcher. I'm going to hope the horse just moved from Gulfstream to Monmouth and maybe needed a re-education on the Monmouth Strip and got it. So that's why we saw the improvement last time, and that will continue. So Mission Driven on top. Second slot will go with the Accuser. George Navarro again. This time Luis Saez on board. Pretty good looking third place finish last time after having shown some early speed. But like the top pick, the number, like the top pick two back, the number for the race last time, a little bit light as compared to some of the better numbers showing on the page. Maybe in this third start back, we'll get closer to what we see a little bit further back in the PPs. And then in the third spot, Bold Daddy. A couple of decent efforts for Jason Service, at least number-wise, over the past two starts. And today gets some significant class relief. Two back was a 30 tag. Last time, 40. Goes 12-5 today. That could provide a little bit of a bounce back to a better finishing position effort. Race 3 for me, 2-11-8.
Yeah, so I go 8-4-2 now. Okay, we'll move the 2 up into third. We both lost total tap on top. Bold Daddy, very logical now for Jason Service. Paco Lopez, 47%, Seth, from a 64-horse sample. The funny part about it is...
coin flip.
Yeah, the ROI is barely above $2. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's amazing right there. But this is a potent trainer-jockey tandem. We know how good Jason Service is. Outside pace-pressing position here. I think Bold Daddy now with the scratch of Total Tap, I would have thought Total Tap would have been favored.
Yeah.
I don't know, but looks Bold Daddy's going to be tough to beat. Enduring Honor down for second now, moving him up. And I mentioned Mission Driven for Navarro gets the third slot now, saves all the ground. A little class drop won't hurt as well. 8-4-2 in the third.
Fourth race, Maiden Special, three-year-olds and up going three-quarters of a mile. Morning line favorite is the Jason Service, Gary and Mary West runner. I went against. I'm going to be interested to see what the betting public does in here.
I did, too, and I have it 5-6-2, but we have to talk about Confess because this is kind of vintage Jason Service. You look at this horse on paper, and it's like he couldn't beat a 5K claimer. The way Jason Service works his horses, you look at the two maximum security drills later on in the card. I mean, they're at their plow horse time, but this is what Jason Service does, so it's you don't really need to get too alarmed by that. And he's 26% with firsters. It's, as you mentioned, Gary and Mary West. It's Paco's here. He's drawn outside of Gallant Plunger. I've got it 5-6-2. I went with the experience of Gallant Plunger, and there's a lot going on here, too. First Lasix, blinkers, turf to dirt. Margada's a very solid 21%. They didn't bet this horse at all on debut, but he runs a good second. Here he is now popping on Askell Day. John Velasquez says, I'll ride for you. So there's a lot to like about Gallant Plunger, but if Confess can run, and you would think Confess can run, it's going to be a good race, and he's going to be in trouble. So I've got it 5-6 down inside. Game Boy Benny is going to be speed down inside. I don't see him lasting with the two heavy hitters to his outside, 5-6-2 for me in the fourth.
You know, in maiden races, I do like to go with first-time starters if I can find breeding and connections. Certainly have the connections here, so I certainly looked at number 6, but I went 5-2-6-3. I went with the experience here. Gallant Plunger on top for everything you said, but I like Candy Ride as a win early sire, so it wouldn't surprise me to see even some further improvement with the first out Education under the belt. Game Boy Benny, number-wise, stacks up with the top pick and ran a good second last time. Confess to me, yeah, I mean, with the potent connections, but if this horse is the real deal,
why get Mama?
And why debuting in August of the three-year-old season?
I agree the latter for sure. Now, I definitely agree with that. I don't think that's ever a good sign.
Yeah, so for me, there was just some question marks. But you obviously, with the connections, you have to pay attention if you're playing the horizontals or whatnot. Certainly a horse that has to be given some serious consideration. And just one of those that, to me, as a handicapper, it's fun to watch these. Did I call it right? Did I call it wrong? And then you can kind of tuck the results in your back pocket for the next time this type of a situation comes up as well. But in the fourth at Monmouth, I have it 5-2-6-3.
All right, first break on this kind of different handicappers report as we plow through a 14-race card, Haskell Day at Monmouth. Of course, we're canceled here. When we come back, Seth and I will get into the stakes action, the graded stakes action. Stay tuned.
Looking for a great place to eat in Saratoga? Why limit your choices when at the Mercantile Kitchen and Bar you can have breakfast, lunch, or dinner any time of the day? The Times Union writes, "The Mercantile's arrival on Broadway is a genuine plus," adding, "Chef Matt Richardson has crafted an expansive broadsheet menu. So if lunch or dinner is more to your liking, the Mercantile will satisfy all your cravings. At the Mercantile, you'll find exactly what you're looking for any time of the day." The Mercantile Kitchen and Bar, 430 Broadway, Saratoga.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued the 97-year tradition of delighting their local following and faithful summer crowd with the finest authentic Italian recipes. Classic Italian dishes made with the freshest ingredients and served in a home-like setting where everyone is welcome. Some things have changed in the last 97 years, but Pennell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine remains the same. Pennell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Welcome back to the Handicappers Report. Brian and Seth with you. It's Haskell Day at Monmouth Park, so if you're late to our party here, we're going to do the 14 at Monmouth today because obviously we're not running in our backyard here in Saratoga. They are going to run at Monmouth. It's a 12 o'clock post, and as Seth and I said, I mean, kind of with our buddies at Woodbine are running too, but Monmouth, all eyes on Monmouth today, and when all eyes are on something, that means the betting handle is going way up, so load it up at otbbets.com and fire. They're going to have big pools today. We get to the fifth. It's the first graded stakes of the day on an absolutely loaded card. If you're not that familiar with the Haskell card, it's their Travers Day is what it is. Graded stakes galore, culminating with the Haskell a little bit later on. It's the Ocean Port in the fifth. It's three-year-olds and up. It's a grade three, a mile and a 16th, and we're going to talk about some names that everybody's familiar with.
I have it 1-6-4-3. Number five, Pismo Time is out. Divisadero on top, Kelly Rubley trainee, that has certainly shown real flashes of being a player in the turf division over the past few seasons. Now there's only one over the past two seasons, going back to only one win, going back to 2000 and beginning of 2018. But so far this year, three starts, couple of second place finishes, pretty good number at Tampa, three starts back. I just think in this grade three field, looking at the complexion of the rest of this field, I'm going to tilt in this direction. But the two others I use, and I may regret leaving Chad's projected in the third spot. I just, what we've seen so far, this year, particularly in that last start, left me scratching my head a little bit on that one. So I took a shot against, with the visitor on top, Just Howard in the second spot, who comes off a couple of decent efforts recently. This is one of those races where nobody is knocking it dead on the win end this season, but they all have all kinds of talent on the page, and you just have to make your decision and go in your direction. Third spot, I will use Projected. I mean, there are some back races here that are just really, really good. But as I say, you know, the race two back was pretty good down at Monmouth. But the follow-up last time, I wasn't quite sure what to make of that. I'll take a little stab against. I won't be surprised if Projected runs away with it, though. But we'll see. I have it 1-6, 4-3.
It's hard not to use one of those three horses on top. 6-1-4 for me. I'm going right with my partner in the fact that you have to use these three horses. They are 0 for their last 22 combined. 0 for their last 22. I just don't think Bird's Eye View, certainly, and I don't think Dover Cliffs is good enough to win this race right now. So one of them is going to win. I went with the tactical speed of Just Howard. I know Divisadero beat him last time, but I think Just Howard's got a big tactical edge here because Divisadero wants pace, and Projected wants some pace too. And I know, again, he beat Just Howard last time, but I'm going to try to spin it backwards today. Just Howard, first run with McCarthy, gets it done. Divisadero, what an old warrior. Kelly Rubley and Buff Bradley back in the day. He's 7 now. He keeps firing. He runs well everywhere he goes. If you can't root for Divisadero, find a different game to play. Bless you, my partner.
Oh, my goodness. I'm allergic to the ocean port.
But he's 0 for 7. And, you know, again, here's Projected at 0 for 9. So he hasn't won a race. Projected has not won a race since September of 2017. And I think when it's Chad Brown, that's even that much more damning to me. 6-1-4 in the ocean port.
I don't know how many times I was just thinking, how often do you see a news anchor or something sneeze? There was nothing I could do. But I started thinking, in all years I've done it, I don't know whether I have ever.
Yeah,
how often do you once or twice sneeze?
You see a co-host take a sip of water on the air either.
Sneeze back. Sixth race today at Monmouth. We're looking at an optional claimer. A non-winner is a one other than event. 3/4 of a mile, the trip in race number 6.
I feel like we're broadcasting from the porch of the sun here. if it's 92 outside, it's about 96 in here.
I'm going to use that later today.
Yeah, my goodness.
We're broadcasting from the porch of the sun.
Did you read the conditions here? Well, it's... I'm not even halfway through, and it's gone to heck already. 3-7-5 for me in the 6. We have no scratches here. I think we're clear for a few races now up until the 8. You know, I'm taking shots at prices today. Agora, I thought the comeback for Agora was really sharp last time. Yeah, she rises in class, but she likes winning races. She's 5 for 15. She's very tactical. I think she can get first run. Why can't she move forward off that win last time? She hadn't been out since October at Park. She's 3 for 4 at Monmouth. Like I said, any horse that wins 5 for 15 is doing good work for me, so she's going to be a price. I'll put Agora on top. Whip me into shape in second. And, you know, she got the comeback last time out of the way. She was a good second. If there's a lot of pace in here, she's going to be rallying late, and I think she will get some pace. She's definitely the horse to beat under Paco. And then for third is the morning line favorite, Radiant Rhythm, with Navarro and Suarez, a big 32% together. But again, I wonder if she gets caught a little bit regressing. She's got that good race, bad race figure thing working. 75, 61, 73. I wonder if she comes back a little bit to the pack today at an underlaid price. I can't take it. 3-7-5 for me in the 6. Another pick 4, by the way, here in the 6.
Yeah, it's Navarro at Monmouth. I just couldn't go against Radiant Rhythm. I mean, you look at the numbers overall, and they just seem to have a little bit of an edge on this bunch. But as you say, I'm concerned that you look at the numbers in the past 4 starts, 5 starts, there's that good, bad,
yeah,
good, bad.
Yeah, I never like seeing that. I don't think
5 and 6 starts back strung a couple together.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I agree. I don't like seeing that because not if you go back 1, 2, or 3 races,
right.
But when you start to go back 3 and 4 and 5 races, then it does seem like a little bit of a pattern that it just has kind of validated itself.
Yeah.
But I do see close enough up, you know, this season, a couple put together. And as I say, it's George Navarro at Monmouth, so I'll go Radiant Rhythm on top. Whipped me into shape in the second spot. Nice improving buyers over the past few starts. Moved from Gulfstream up to Monmouth. I think got a little education over the track last time and should benefit from that. And then in the third spot, Arcelor, the number two horse. It's the other George Navarro. Luis Saez on board and just being the other half of an uncoupled entry always intrigues me. The top pick, Radiant Rhythm, 9-5. Arcelor, the 9-2, other half of the uncoupled entry. In race six, I have it 5, 7, 2, and 3.
All right, race seven, back to the turf. It's an optional claimer, 3-year-olds and up, a mile and a 16th.
5, 7, 1, and 2. Number five is Freedom Matters. Pretty good second place finish on that Gulfstream, the Monmouth move last time. Nice little closing effort. Well, it was kind of up in the hunt and then lost a little bit of ground and then came back. 6-5 favorite that day, but I thought, you know, beaten favorite, but I thought it was a pretty good effort and one to certainly build on. Number-wise, has maybe a little edge on most in here. The one that has some numbers that would contend is the number 7. 302 Cassie. It's George Navarro and Mike Smith. And again, 2 and 3 starts back down at Gulfstream. Some solid numbers. Last time, the move up to Monmouth ran a decent third with a number that went backwards a little bit. But again, I think overall, you look at the numbers, the top two probably have an edge on the rest of the bunch. And I thought Freedom Matters, maybe a little edge on 302 Cassie. Third spot, I'll go with Digital Footprint. Steve Asmussen, trainee, probably has to step it up. But it's only a career start number 4. First three starts were for Chad and Klarovich, but they dropped this one in for a tag last time. They got the win. They got the money and the claiming price, but it now moves into the Steve Asmussen barn. Might be a clever claim. We'll find out a little more about this one this afternoon. As I say, has to move forward a little bit. But with only the three starts, that's not out of the question. And race 7 at Monmouth, 5, 7, 1, and 2.
I'm with you with the 5, 8, 4, 7 for me. And I think a lot of things point to Freedom Matters. He's going to sit a nice trip. He's going to be close to the speed. He looked good last time. First start for Guerrero with good figures, tactical speed. It does really kind of point to him. I went outside with National Honor. Paco is here. The Jane Sabelli's having a big meet at Monmouth, 33%. She's 10 for 30. National Honor can rally late. I know steps up into open company here, but he's going to run on late. Dull Knife is in the mix for Todd. 302 Cassie as well for Navarro and Mike Smith pressing the issue. I thought Digital Footprint might be in a tough spot facing winners for the first time down inside. Probably with Saez aboard, shakes out as the inside speed. I think, you know, improving off Chad is tough, and yeah. Asmussen's 19% off the claim, so he knows what he's doing, and doesn't claim a lot of horses in New York, so I think that
And I think they dipped in for Chad Klarovich.
Yeah, and they spent 75. I mean, this isn't taking a flyer for 16, so I would think they like Digital Footprint. To me, he's probably a name maybe to remember down the road. I think it's a tough spot today, but with that being said, if you like them, you will get some fair value.
And number-wise, again, the 5 and the 7 to me are kind of interchangeable.
Yes.
But you get beyond that, I think it becomes wide open. Okay. So if those top two step back, not too many points, and the others maybe move forward a couple, I think it becomes a really, really competitive 7th race at Monmouth. All right, race number 8 at Monmouth. We continue with the stakes action, the Grade 3 Molly Pitcher. $150,000 up for grabs for fillies and mares. And when the entries came out, Grade 3, $150,000. I was shocked by the entry of Midnight Bisou. But we also have our friend Roddy Vellante. Had Dale in here yesterday talking about Coach Rocks. Always want to root for that one. But, boy, she is up against a monster this afternoon.
Yeah, and Pacific Wind is out, okay? Pacific Wind is out, but Electric Forest will run for Chad. So he scratched the 1, Electric Forest
Electric Forest in. Was cross-centered in
tomorrow's
Shoe V. So.
Now, maybe you didn't see this. I don't know, but I did read some quotes from Steve in regards to Midnight Bisou, or maybe it was Scott Blasi, I'm not sure, but they said, you know, we're not necessarily sure she likes Saratoga, and they wanted to prep for the Personal Ensign, which is the big filly and mare race on Travers Day, 700,000, I believe, the Grade 1. So they're going to run here in the Molly Pitcher as opposed to tomorrow. And, of course, they have She's a Julie tomorrow in the Shoe V, who's going to be tough to beat in
named
there as well.
Asmussen's wife.
Yes,
so.
Yes, that's right, Grade 1 winner this year. I believe she won the the Philly mayor race on Derby Day, or Derby Friday, maybe, the La Troyenne?
Yeah.
La Troyenne is followed by the Fleur-de-Lis, I think, anyway.
Didn't she win down at Oakland, too?
Did she win the Apple Blossom, too?
No, the Bayakoa down at Oakland.
Bayakoa, yeah.
Skipped the Apple Blossom to go to La Troyenne.
Yeah. So Midnight Bijou is the best Philly mayor in the country. She was awesome winning the Ogden Phipps. On Belmont Day, I loved Carlos's Come Dancing that day, and she just blew her away. She's 1-9 in here, maybe, but you know, she's a sight to behold. She's absolutely streaking. It's just 3-7 now for me. We'll take the one out. 3-7. If I had to put someone in third, it would be the 4 Electric Forest. But this is named the score time. For Midnight Bijou, if you want to be a little tiny critical, she's never run at Mama's. She's given weight to some of these gals. I can't imagine it matters if the gates open. She's going to win. So the 7 Cosmic Burst moves up for second. You know, this is, excuse me, the type of race where, you know, Electric Forest is going to try, for most people, is going to end a $4.90 exacta. If there's somebody you like underneath, if you're a Coach Rocks fan and she's getting, you know, getting going now in her third start of the year for Roddy, we always root for her. Maybe you know it's a one punch exacta to try to get some value, because right now 3-4 is probably paying, like I said, about $4.90. I've got it 3-7, 4 and third.
I went 3-4-7.
Yeah.
It's just gonna be fun to watch Midnight Bijou. You said it, the Ogden Phipps. In a year where you look around the various divisions, certainly 3-year-old fillies and males are searching for leaders. I think some of the other divisions are also kind of up in the air. But she claimed the filly and mare division with that Ogden
Phipps. Devastating.
And we had Sal Cumin on the other day talking about the return of Monomoy Girl, who is, I guess, back with Brad.
I saw that she arrived at the barn last week.
Yeah, had just, when Sal was in here, had kind of just made the transition. So they're looking for one race, perhaps, before the Breeders' Cup Distaff, which is unfortunate. She had a couple of setbacks, because that would have been a great season watching those two face off. But with Monomoy Girl on the sidelines, Midnight Bijou is just, as I say, stepped to the top of that division. And so to show up here in this grade three, but as you say, that, you know, there's a game plan here. She just lays over this field over Electric Forest. We mentioned it, and given that this horse was entered in the Shoevee and they elect to go here, that says something.
Yep.
So that they're going to take the shot, put that one underneath, and Cosmic Burst in the third spot after a nice try last time. You know, I had Pacific Wind originally in the third spot, the other Chad, but with that one scratching out, I'll move Cosmic Burst up. So 3, 4, and 7 for me in the Molly pitcher.
I didn't see it. Jersey Shore 6, too, kicks off here, that pick 6 they have down there. I did not see the South Cuban interview. How was he? He seems like a very personal guy.
Oh, yeah,
really
he's,
good guy, huh?
He's great.
Great.
I mean, it's. I had written down his list of horses. I'm not going to be able to recite them all.
What are you talking about, 11, 12,000 horses?
He's in the World of Trouble and Monomoy Girl. And you pretty much think of any top horse in your mind, and he's in for at least a part of it.
But
it's
really
fun to talk to. Clearly a huge fan and has fun and enjoys Saratoga quite a bit as well.
All right, it's hot out, that's for sure. All right, second break on the Handicappers Report. When we come back, we're going to get into a $400,000 guaranteed picks 4. We've got pick 5s coming. We've got the Haskell coming. Stay tuned. Saturday, Haskell Day, Monmouth Park.
Fantastic meal? Stop by Malcolm's, a unique farm-to-table restaurant experience. Located at 617 Union Street in Schenectady, Malcolm's offers locally grown fresh foods, mouth-watering flavors, an enhanced drink menu, and terrific service. Malcolm's is a sure bet during Saratoga season. Make your reservation today.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the Saturday Handicappers Report. Obviously, we canceled here at Saratoga, but Seth and I are getting through 14 down in Oceanport on the Jersey Shore. Haskell Day at Monmouth Park, a monster card. We've gotten through 8. Let's get back into it. It's the Wolf Hill Race 9. Kicks off a $400,000 guaranteed pick for it, as my partner and I have alluded to a few times today. With not a lot going on around the country early, at least. Our friends at Woodbine are running. But other than that, all eyes on Monmouth. And that means the pools are going to be huge. Fire at Capital OTB and OTB Bets. It's the Wolf Hill. 3-year-olds and up. 5.5. A snappy 5.5 on the turf. About 5.5. That will never cease to amaze.
I went 5.87-4. And fig jelly from Jason Service, Michael Dubb and Company. Yeah, I may regret leaving that one down in the spot I did. But tricks to do coming out of some turf sprint stakes. Turf sprinting to me is a specialty. Once you get up into the stakes level, even more of a specialty. The race two back was pretty good down at Pimlico. Last time, a little bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, we were up there that day.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe this is a better fit, this group. We'll find out more about that this afternoon. But again, I think the horse is a bona fide stakes quality turf sprinter in some pretty good form despite the last race. I'll put that one on top. Mai Tai won on in the second spot. I'm going to draw a line through the last race. That's clearly an aberration. I'm going to look for this one to bounce back and run something closer to what we saw a couple of starts back. And if we get that, the horse is in the thick of things. And then Just a Holic down in the third spot. Pretty much, well, it was. It was a turf experiment, a turf debut last time, but I think passed with flying colors. Probably will have to step it up a little bit at least in here. It gets clearly tested as far as stakes turf sprint. But again, what we saw last time, I think, showed a little bit of ability. So Just a Holic on top, in the mix for me. As I say, I may regret putting Fig Jelly down in the fourth spot, but I have a 5.87-4.
Well, I took a little shot with Just a Holic. You can see it here, 7.54 for me. I thought that, yeah, you hit on it. Yeah. That turf sprint, first start for Tom Clark, I thought that was a monster effort. Now he's got to back it up. He's got to worry about regression today, but I like the post. I like the fact that he's very, very tactical. Oddly enough, Seth, with the exception of the 1 and 2, there's not a lot of speed in here. And I think that bodes really well for Just a Holic. He's going to get first run on these guys. You mentioned a Fig Jelly. Tricks to do, certainly. I mean, they're not drop-out-the-back closers, but Just a Holic's going to get first run on both of them, and I'm just hoping he can bridge the gap to what is a solid but unspectacular stakes field. I'll put him on top. I think Tricks to Do is clearly the horse to beat, as Seth said. A little disappointing at Woodbine last time on Queen's Plate Day, and we were fortunate enough to be there, and always welcome going up north. And as I've said it many times, go up and see Woodbine. It's an awesome time. But he was a little disappointing, and now he drops back, and he goes a little shorter today too, and he's got to kind of wind up that rally. Maybe he runs out of room, and the same with Fig Jelly. I know he comes out of that Park's Dash, and Pure Sensation would be 1-20 in here. But with the exception of the second to Pure Sensation 2 back, he's no better than anybody in here, and you're going to have to take an underlaid price on him. I think Seth is right to play against him. I'm playing against him, too. I happen to pick him in third, but I am against him, and I'm going to hope Just a Holic lives up to that last race because it was a really big effort, and if he can reproduce it, he's going to have a big, big chance in here.
You mentioned Woodbine Queen's Plate weekend. You also mentioned South Cayman on the show, or I mentioned it, and you picked up on it, but I will tie those two in again because a couple of days ago I had Ralph Brissett on the show, and he won the Charlie Burley when we were up there, and we talked a little bit about that horse, but I would advise people to go back if they didn't see it and catch the interview with Rudy a couple of days ago on Racing Across America, because he's one of those guys that has kind of become a name you see in the PPs now, but I don't think a lot of people are as familiar with him as you may be of some other folks who we've had on here in the past or you've seen other places. Yep. So it's a nice kind of introduction maybe to people.
Had a good one. I trained some horses for Windstar, and he had a nice debut winner the other day, too. That was very sharp.
Oh, the off-the-turf?
Yeah. Turned away a Chad horse. No. That was an experienced Chad horse and pulled away later. Definitely a name to remember.
Yeah, I had Mike Welch on that morning, and he commented that horse impressed him with the performance. All right, the 10th race, the Monmouth Cup, Grade 3 event, couple $100,000, 9 furlongs the trip.
This is a this is an error on my part. I've got it written 3-2-4. I did not pick Colfront. It's 2-3-4 right in a row. That's my bad, not anybody's. Back in the home, the mothership. It's 2-3-4 for me. I'm going to try to beat Colfront because I think Lemonade Thursday was a monster winner last time, and I think he's going to be outside Colfront, who will be loose in here. But Paco with Lemonade Thursday is not going to let Colfront get too far away, and I think that's going to give him first run to maybe pull the upset here. He's got a, it's a big task because we know how good Colfront is. I thought Colfront ran as good as he could run in the Met Mile. I mean, he had no chance down inside as the inside speed dueling through torrid fractions. I know he's won at two turns at Oaklawn, but I would think everybody involved in this horse realizes or knows he's a better one-turn horse. It's a two-turn mile and an eighth today, and I think that's really going to stretch his rubber band thin. Now, there's not a lot in here. He's definitely the best horse in the race. They've done a great job, Todd, getting this horse to come back. Big game, Bob LaPenta, John Velasquez. They've done a great job with this horse. I mean, this guy was off for over a year and a half. I mean, and they almost a year and a half, excuse me. And they got him to come back. It's been really impressive, the horse he's developed into, winning in Dubai. I think this is a tough ask today with Lemonade Thursday breathing down him. I'm going to go 2-3, and if it falls apart, Monongahela is clearly the horse that's going to pick up the pieces. Major improvement in his last race for Jason Service. The pink and yellow Mike Dubber here, we know what that can do to a horse. Monongahela is going to pick it up from off the pace if it gets too hot early.
I couldn't go against Colfront just on the class edge. And Sal Kumin talked about this horse, and we watched the Godolphin Mile replay, and I said, what do you think next? And he was saying, hey, you know, Whitney perhaps. So that they elect the Grade 3 Monmouth Cup with this field, I just think, you know, the Met Mile, the Fay job to seventh in that one, maybe a little bit of a concern until you look at Mattoli, McKenzie,
yeah,
Thunder Snow.
Come on, the three best horses in training, right?
So you stack up against this field in the Monmouth Cup. Again, I just think they're going to have the class edge in here. So I'll tilt in that direction. Monongahela off the prep win in the Island, which was a very good with a triple-digit buyer. I think that says that horse is kind of in the top of the form cycle right now. And then Bal Harbour underneath for Todd Pletcher coming out of a second-place finish in the Island last time. So for me in the Monmouth Cup, 3-4-7-6.
All right. We breaking or one more?
One more.
It's the 11th. It's the matchmaker. I mentioned it earlier. Grade 3, Phillies and Mares, 3 and up. Mile and an eighth on the turf. Kicks off another pick 4. No guarantee here, but another pick 4.
And My Sister Sledge, the 5, number 7, Zenobia, are out, 5 and 7 out. I have it 6-3-2. I had the 7 underneath in my mix, but that one again out. So 6-3-2 now. Competition of ideas for Chad and Klarovich. Comes in some pretty good form with a couple of close-up second-place finishes most recently. Won 3 of 7 last year as a 3-year-old. I think we can get back to that kind of form today in the good form and in this particular field. I'll tilt in that direction. Valedictorian in the second slot comes out of a nice win in the Eatontown at Monmouth last time. 4 for 5 over this track, so clearly has a little bit of an appreciation of the home cooking down on the Jersey Shore. Should benefit from that kind of an affinity for the track to run well again today. And I'm So Fancy in the third spot. Came over from Ireland, put in a couple of good and a couple of improving starts for Arnaud Delacour. Should run well again on Saturday afternoon. I have it 6-3-2 in the matchmaking.
I reversed them, and I like Valedictorian a lot in here. She's lone speed for Paco. She's a 4 for 5 over the Monmouth Park turf course. Yeah, she's probably better going a little shorter, but she's won at 9 furlongs. In her only start at the distance, she did win, and she looked good doing it in a Grade 3 down at Gulfstream. And Competition of Ideas is going to be a huge favorite for Chad, but to me, she's better going longer. And I don't want to say this is a little short for her because she clearly is the horse to beat. But I just wonder if the fact that Valedictorian is going to be, she's going to be spotting her several lengths, is what gets Valedictorian to the line first. I like her a lot in here. Competition of Ideas for Chad Klarovich, Seth Klarman. Clearly the horse to beat. She's been chasing Homerique. You all know how much I like Homerique. She would have been second if she ran straight last week in the Diana. So competition of ideas is legitimately 3 to 5 in here. And then I'm So Fancy down inside, coming off, as you mentioned, for De La Cora stakes win. Torija for Graham is interesting. She's a grade one winner in Brazil. I don't really know what that means. She adds Lasix today. She's a wild card. 3 to 1 on the morning line will be way, way, way too low on her. But tab the tote if she's live. Maybe she can run a little bit, but this seems like a tall ask. 3-6-2 for me in the match.
I will say, you say won a grade one down in Brazil. You don't know what that means, and I'm right with you.
Yeah.
It's hard to judge those. But I will say for folks who are kind of new to handicapping, the one go-to for me is always look at the money won.
Yeah.
Grade one winner, $33,000 in the bank. So, for me, South American horses, I always want to see one.
Yeah,
I'm
totally
always questionable there. All right, we'll head to a break. When we come back, we will take a look at the grade one, $1 million Haskell. Can Maximum Security get back in the winner's circle? King for a day. Can that one validate what we saw last time? We'll hit the Haskell right after this. Stay tuned.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued the 97-year tradition of delighting their local following and faithful summer crowd with the finest authentic Italian recipes. Classic Italian dishes made with the freshest ingredients and served in a home-like setting where everyone is welcome. Some things have changed in the last 97 years, but Pennell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine remains the same. Pennell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
A day at the track isn't complete without a night at the Horseshoe. Great food, hot music, and cold drinks. So why go downtown when all the action's just across from the track? The Horseshoe Inn at the corner of Nelson and Gridley.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops, my bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Here in upstate New York, no one provides bettors with more wagering options than Capital OTB. Our network of branch and easy bet locations stretches from the mid-Hudson Valley all the way to the Canadian border and west to central New York. So whether you need to place a bet, fund your Capital Bets account, or watch the next big race, all the action is just around the corner. A full list of our branch and easy bet locations can be found online at CapitalOTB.com. Capital OTB, the better and most convenient choice for wagering in upstate New York.
Welcome back to the Handicapper Support on this Saturday morning. I almost said Racing Across America, which will happen like 50 more times during the meet. But it is the Handicapper Support Saturday morning. We're a little later. We're actually in the Racing Across America time slot, but we're a little later just because of the switch up here at Saratoga. No racing today. Saturday card got moved to tomorrow, but includes the Steeplechases Race 1. Saturday's original feature, the Shuvi, is Race 13. Don't forget tomorrow, early post time here with that Steeplechase kicking off at 12:20 tomorrow up here at Saratoga. But for the safety of everybody involved, no racing up here this afternoon. Special protocols in place down at Monmouth today to take care of the heat, hopefully for everybody involved, and certainly rooting for the best in the Haskell Grade 1 event. $1 million up for grabs, mile and an eighth. I've been saying it for 6 weeks at least, really since the end of the Triple Crown, and subsequent races like the Pegasus, a division crying out for a leader. And I think Haskell, Jim Dandy, Travers, Pennsylvania Derby have kingmaker potential. We'll see what happens this afternoon to Haskell.
Yeah, I disagree. I just think Maximum Security is like way better than any of these average three-year-olds that are out there. I mean, I guess technically you are correct because he didn't win the Kentucky Derby, and that's the weird, you know, the weird aspect of all of this. I mean, he was...
Even if you throw that in, though, he's got two grade ones, which means pretty much anybody else is in the mix. Anybody else can put another couple of grade ones on the...
You know what I mean?
Because... Well, Royal Will, I think, is in the mix with the Preakness win to kind of continue on. Game winner, you would have to think, is going to be live if he can do some damage through the rest of the
year. This guy buried Code of Honor in the Florida Derby, and then he might be favored in the Travers. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I guess maybe I'm taking the contrarian view.
I don't think you are. I think if people had to put the top 10 together, majority of people will tilt in that direction.
I mean, I just think this horse is a month better than anybody around, and I thought I am contrarian in that I thought he ran absolutely huge losing the Pegasus. All the worst of it that day. He lunges and stumbles at the start. He's inside while King for a Day is outside pressing him. Well, the tables are turned in a big way today.
Which is going against me.
Yes.
I don't like that.
You are in a tough spot down inside. I think Maximum Security absolutely lays over this field. If I can get $4.30 on Maximum Security, you should find me tonight, because I'm going to firing on him, because I just think he gets all the best of it today. He's going to be sharper. The post position's different. Perfectly outside today, and I think he asserts himself and takes his claim as the definitive leader of a three-year-old division that I think is sorely lacking at least on this point. Now, again, we've got the Travers coming. Code of Honor looks like he wants to be a good horse now. Game Winner's back on the beam, and he's coming for Baffert. So there's a lot to be settled. And as my partner said, if a couple of these guys stack them up, then we do have a discussion. But if Maximum Security wins today, he's up there, and everybody else has got to come get him. Mucho Gusto, I think, sits the right kind of trip in here for Baffert. He's won this race how many times? 10? I don't know. He wins it every summer, it seems. And I think Mucho Gusto, if there's hitting between King for a Day and Maximum Security, he's going to be the one picking up the pieces. And so it's just straight 7-5 to me. I think King for a Day is a nice horse. He's really, really going to have to run his eyeballs out today to double up, because he takes all the worst of it, whereas opposed to last time, he was got all the best of it. Just 7-5 to me. If there's somebody who was in third, it would be King for a Day.
I took a shot with the one, and just because, you know, I was in doing a handicapping show Day of the Pegasus, and I certainly wasn't going against Maximum Security, but I said, you know what, if you were taking a shot, King for the Day might be the direction to go. Could be a little bit of an up-and-comer. I'm not patting myself on the back, because, again, Maximum Security was the horse to beat that day, and I recognized that and said that, but I thought King for a Day was a little bit interesting. Then he beats Maximum Security, and as you kind of alluded to, people thought, oh, boy, that was, you know, kind of an upset and bad performance by Maximum Security. No, when the number came out, it was a legit race. And it just turns out King for a Day is turning out to be a nice horse.
Right.
That was only the second start of the three-year-old season. The comeback effort was a nice win in the Sir Barton off a fairly long layup. I think this might be a nice horse for Todd Pletcher. But, as you said, the post position, I would love if we were switched. I would have maybe a modicum of confidence even if the post positions were switched. But I think Maximum Security in his 7, King for a Day in his 1, the outside horse is going to have just a little bit of a strategic advantage that may work against me. But I didn't want to sit on the sidelines on a horse that I'm kind of interested in should he jump up and get the win today. So I'll put King for a Day over Maximum Security. Mucho Gusto, as you say, Baffert, he just had Mike Welch in the other day, and we were looking at the race, and Welch said, doesn't he win every year, Baffert?
Yeah.
And so just on that fact, I think you have to give that one a little bit of attention. But certainly it's going to be a fun race, and Maximum Security, can he get back in the game here with another Grade 1 win? It's going to be a lot of fun. I've won 7-5-2.
What did Dale say about Everfast? You had him on Racing Across America, correct? And there's a lot of speed in this race, and you could make a case where they're going to be stacked across the track, and there's Everfast 100 lengths off of it, closing.
He liked him. And we looked at the stretch run of the Preakness where he came from behind,
right.
And he commented on how he liked to run there and whatnot. And he thought, you know, you look at the page, there's a 7th place finish in the Belmont, but it's 3 1/4 lengths.
Yeah,
he thought that was a much better effort than maybe that 7th indicates. And so he had a little bit of confidence in taking the shot with Everfast, and given what Dale's done over the past few years with horses that come into races like this at big prices, I wouldn't argue against anybody taking the shot.
Agreed. We're still going, though. 13th, after the Haskell, two more in the get-out races, three-year-olds and up, fillies and mares. It's an optional claim or a mile and a 16th out of that turf shoot.
3, 4, 7, and 2, but the 8 scares me a little bit. I left that one out. I could have pulled that one into the mix, but I put Kerluck up on top. A couple of nice races, most recently one in April down at Gulfstream, but then the move up to Monmouth I thought was okay. Jason Service, Michael Dubb and company, I think with the race under the belt at Monmouth will get an improved performance. Tearless in the second spot, also a pretty nice start last time up here, and in fact finished in front of my top pick last time. And I've said it many times, sometimes we get too clever and try to switch things up and they just finish in a similar order in the next start, so that may be the case this afternoon, but I'll look for Kerluck to turn the table slightly. Here comes Jackie in the third spot. Another one just seems to be in some pretty good form. What are we looking at? In the last six races, four stakes. So I think dropping into this optional claiming company will be a class move that could get Here Comes Jackie in a better spot for trainer Mike Deeney, trainer owner Mike Deeney. He trains my namesake, Merrill. Who had the nice win last year. I saw Mike at the end of the Saratoga meet, and Merrill was, I talked to him about the horse earlier in the meet, and the last 3 days of Saratoga, crossed paths with him in the clubhouse. He said, "Oh, your namesake's running today down in Monmouth." One, paid like $3.40. Can't get rich with your namesake winning at those kind of prices. But in the 13th, 3-4, 7-2.
I'm seeing now Monongahela is out of the 10th, and that was not one we had early, so take that into consideration, and that's it for the day. So Monongahela now out of the 10th, and that is the Monmouth, right? The Grade 3 Monmouth Cup. So take note of that. It's 7-8-2-3 for me in the 13th. Here comes Jackie on the stakes drop. Competitive with this group. I think there's speed in here that should set her up at a decent price from off the pace. Saez says he'll stick around and ride. I like that. Clock strikes 12, another one coming from off the pace. I think the Belmont race was probably better than what, I mean, Zandik's, Tom Morley's done a good job with that one off the claim, beat a $2 million Chad horse, comes right back to win as well, so he's going to do good things for Tom. Black Dynamite and Kerluck down inside, but the fact that I think they're going to be engaged a little bit early, or at least close to what looks like an honest pace, doesn't help their chances late. I'm a little off the pace here. 7-8-2-3 in the 13th.
You mentioned Saez, and that's going to be an interesting thing here tomorrow, because a few of the New York jockeys, the big names, are obviously down, taking advantage of a big day down there,
yeah,
which meant they were off mounts up here at Saratoga on the Saturday card. Well, the Saturday card got shifted to Sunday, but not redrawn.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to maybe see those scratches and changes at the beginning of the day.
Yeah, that's a good
if
point.
Some of the jocks on the return to Saratoga get named on some of the horses,
yeah,
so pay attention to that as the morning progresses tomorrow. 14th and final at Monmouth. You and I were talking. I talked with a couple other guys in the press box yesterday. A six-horse field, and you just don't see this as the get-out race, this kind of a short field. And virtually everyone I talked to, I said, I made my comment, and everybody said, I thought the same thing. When I flipped the page and looked, oh, six horse, I must not have printed up enough pages. I thought there would be another page, but
so
no. Half a dozen in the maiden special, 14th, going 6 furlongs.
Yeah, it ends the pick five, $100,000 guaranteed pick five. It obviously ends the late pick four. It's just really bizarre. Anywho, 5-6-1 for me, Goddess of Cash. Another, this is John Service now, but another firster that you would think is well meant. Cassius King buys good horses, but you would think this one is well meant, but the works don't really whisper ready for a guy that is 21% with first time starters. So it's kind of, you know, you have to just go in with the impression that this horse is ready to roll, even though the works are on the slow side. New York Charmer, I don't know what you're going to get from him for Todd. He wasn't really, he took money on debut, but that debut was at Churchill in May of 2018, and now he pops at Monmouth off an average at best work tab. So I don't know. Todd's a big 32% off the long, long layoff, but boy, tread lightly with this one, and then down inside Dating Game should get a piece in some way, shape, or form, I guess.
Yeah, I may have made a mistake. Dating Game with some experience and a decent little number last time, but it was on the turf, and it wasn't a good finishing position, so I didn't know quite what to do. I went 6-3-4-5. I will say, to me, it seems like a dartboard. I was kind of looking up breeding and connections and didn't have any feel for some of these either first-time starters or lately raced horses, but they paid $250,000 for New York Charmer. As you say, took some money in debut, had a little trouble. I'll look for a rebound there, but again, I don't have any real confident opinion in this. Maybe it's good there's only six horses, can spread a little bit and have most of the field for the last leg of the various pick bets. But in the 14th, have it 6, 3, 4, and 5. Before I let you wrap it up, I'll hit on the promos because there's just a couple to mention. At the Clubhouse Racebook, where the AC, I'm sure, is already fired up and rolling. Great place to spend the afternoon watching this Monmouth card. As you say, a little bit of Woodbine, a little bit later on Del Mar out on the Southern California coast. Plenty of racing action to jump into, as again, this Monmouth card is going to be a monster. But down at the Clubhouse Racebook today, in the air conditioning, a $100 Winabet contest that will focus on some of the Monmouth action. So stop by for that. Tomorrow, a double promotion at the Clubhouse Racebook. Naira Pick 4 and a match bet at the Clubhouse Racebook. That's 711 Central Avenue in Albany, which is also the location of our charity event, which happens Monday night. Love to see you down there. Bartenders, I think Roddy's there, and there's the list, Dale Romans, and a number of other guest bartenders, all to benefit Act Naturally. Some retired horses, race horses, benefiting folks in a therapeutic fashion. Our friend Val Buck, we've had her on the show in the past, has that organization. So again, Monday night, an off day at the track. Stop down at the Clubhouse Racebook and enjoy the charity event and causing some conversation in with those celebrity bartenders. Whew. Yeah, really.
It is hot. They should have canceled. They did cancel. Kudos to them. It is hot. It's oppressive, but we will be back to battle tomorrow. As Seth mentioned, 13 races. I will be here for the bankroll tomorrow. So hopefully
team has already been selected.
Team has people been selected.
But people can turn in during the afternoon. It's going to be a lot of fun to
absolutely
see what your plays are, root along for you, and take the 1,000 and kick it up. I'm putting the over-under at like 3,000.
All right. Wow. I'm starting with 5,000?
You got one. You can pick it up.
Yeah, so we always have a lot of fun with the bankroll. It's a big card tomorrow, 13 races. The Shuvi will stick around, the original Sunday feature.
Then I know you're a pick five guy. You put this line to pick five?
Oh, yeah. Come
okay
on.
All right.
Two pick fives.
I suspected.
Got to play the early one. I might not be around late, you know, so we got to play the early one. 12:20, I think I'll be on around quarter of or so because the steeplechase does start it out. Haskell Day kicking off in 11:11. Make a wish, 49 minutes at Monmouth Park. Brian, Seth, you will be here tomorrow morning.
Exactly.
And you will also be here with Steve tomorrow morning.
Yep, okay. That's the game plan.
So the programming back to battle, you know, tomorrow. Best of luck today. Like we said, fire at Monmouth, fire at Woodbine, big pools. Get down to the clubhouse if you're looking to do something. The AC will be kicking. Best of luck. We'll see you up here tomorrow.
This has been the Handicappers Report, brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track. Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border. The Mercantile Kitchen and Bar. Enjoy breakfast, lunch, or dinner any time of the day. The Mercantile Kitchen and Bar, 430 Broadway, Saratoga. And the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. When you can't make it to the track, make it to the Clubhouse Racebook.